Let me briefly go through the next eight, and then I'm going to take you through some experiences of some of the transformation when we're dealing with matter into feeling. The second transformative process involving matter into feeling is dreams changing into reality. Now we're going from bait number two into 20, number 20, which is kaf. Kaf is a symbol for the palm of a hand. It's the holding of something. But I see it as the transformative process which takes dream into reality. It's that experience of the seeing into the future, transforming and changing the process. It's what I really talked about already in the first change that I just talked about before this, but now it's more directly into stuff of the mind coming into stuff of the real world. The third one is the transformation from Gimel into what is called Lamed. Lamed meant in ancient Hebrew a walking stick. So it's the transformation from the symbol of movement into the actual motion of movement. It's here where we're going to come back in a little while and look at the wave of feeling and how all of that works, how you can actually use these principles to change situations in your everyday life. So we'll come back to that a little later. The fourth is the transformation from, remember, four was Dalet, and it meant resistance. We're transforming that into the number 40. You see, what we're doing now is we're going from 1 through 9. We now go from 10 through 90. So 10, 20, 30, now we're at 40. And the symbol for number 40 is actually one which is very mysterious. It's a resistance, like 4, which is a resistance. But what it represents is water itself, because it's the letter Mem. And Mayim is the Hebrew word for water. So Mem is a symbol for water itself. And it is a symbol for memory as well. So what we're learning here is that in order to have memory, you got to have water. Now, that's Kabbalistically speaking. What about neurophysiologically speaking? Well, the body we know is roughly 65 to 67% water. But the brain is 85% water. Whoa, doody-loody, woo-woo-woo-woo. 85% water. So without water, you couldn't even have you wouldn't have a brain. You'd have just a bunch of tissue. I don't know what you would even use that for. But the water is what really makes the brain work. So water is very necessary to have a memory, to have a brain. So what we're dealing with here is this memory. But memory, remember, we talked about that. When you limit something, you get a facsimile. And facsimiles are not originals. The ideal and the copy are not exactly the same. So what we're seeing here is copying. And when there's copying, there's possibility for error. And when there's error, there's possibilities for tomfoolery. There is the trickster, which can arise in the brain. And if we don't recognize the trickster and we believe what our memories tell us, we get stuck in the goo of absoluteness. And it is absolutely horrible to be stuck in the goo of absoluteness. Let me tell you a little story here. Yogi Berra was, you know, a great catcher. But as you probably all know, he was also a good storyteller. And he had these wonderful, crazy ideas, combining of words. And they were just kind of funny. Like, for example, he wrote a book. If you see a fork on the road, take it. that was one of his, you know, what does he mean? It's almost like quantum physics. See a fork on the road, take it. Means go on both roads at the same time. I mean, what do you mean by take it? Well, he was having a discussion one day with a bunch of umpires. And the umpires were talking about, you know, how they call games. And each umpire's got a different personality and, you know, different ways of looking at reality. And they were going to get Yogi involved. Well, what would you do, Yogi, if you were an umpire? How would you call a game? And he says, well, okay, I'll think about that, he says to these guys. And the first ump says, well, listen, let me tell you something. When I call a game, okay, I calls them as they are. If it's a strike, I call it a strike. If it's a ball, I call it a ball. I call them as they are. And yeah, whoa, this guy really sees reality out there. You know, that's the way they are. I don't know what would happen if he made an error. He'd probably feel terrible about himself. He calls them as they are. I mean, it's reality, right? The second umpire kind of, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge to Yogi and says, I tell you, I understand, you know, we sometimes can make an error. He says, I calls them as I sees them. I calls them as I sees them. I mean, you know, I may sometimes call a ball a strike a ball, but, you know, that's how I sees it. And, you know, I can make errors. I calls them as I sees them. And, you know, the first umpire is now looking a little sheepish, and they're all looking now towards what Yogi's going to say. And he looks at them and he says, they ain't nothing till I calls them. They ain't nothing till I calls them. Yogi is pointing out that nothing is anything until there's a subjective element introduced. Yogi's our trickster in our memory, the trickster to remind us that we're the guys that call in the shots, and it's up to us. And we can, of course, make mistakes, as the second umpire said, but we don't want to get stuck in the first umpire's shoes, because then we're stuck in them's good, them's bad. I'm right, you're wrong. And every situation you come to, we meet characters like that in our lives, and they're boring, boring, boring. In fact, you didn't want to hang out with these guys because they never give in, right? Right. And if you're working for somebody like that, boy, not only boring, but, you know, you may never get a raise because, you know, he knows what you did wrong, and you're wrong, and that's it, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So, actually, that's the symbol of resistance in the brain, water in the brain, the trickster in the memory. The fifth symbol has to do with life in the living process. I call it the curve of life. It's where all the possibilities which can arise begin to form a matrix of possibilities for you so that you can modify the curve of your life and so that you can do things a little better, a little worse, you can improve. It allows for that sort of thing to take place. Oh, by the way, the symbol for that fifth experience of life is the Hebrew letter nun. And nun actually is the Hebrew word for fish, and it represents a living being. So the transformation from hay, which is the symbolic seed-like element of life, into the actual living element is called nun. Now we get to the sixth, which is number 60, by the way. We're getting into the symbol for, remember, Vav 6 was seed-like sexuality, the beginning, and male seed-like energies all spreading out like sperm cells. In 60, we have the evolution of that. It's the Hebrew letter Samech, and it represents the female quality of sexuality. So here we see that, as the Kabbalists rightfully knew, the female is more developed than the male. And guys, I mean, think about it. Women are far more complicated than we are. I mean, you know, they are. I mean, even their whole sexual apparatus is far more complicated than what we have going. I mean, you know, they got a finite number of eggs that can be people. I mean, just think. I mean, in a single male ejaculation, I mean, we've probably ejaculated more seed-like egg cells than a billion women may produce in a lifetime. But yet, these are very precious egg-like qualities that the female produces. And yet, the uterine structure, the whole structure of the female sex quality is very different from the male, and it is a higher evolution, according to Kabbalah. It's number 60. And because it deals with the completion of 6 and 60, which is male and female together, it implies something about the creation of the future. And it also gives us a message here. And this is a new kind of a message. You're not going to hear this from many before. It says what sex is really all about. Oh, I know what it's all about. It's selling cars. Oh, I know what it's all about. It's getting an erection. Oh, I know what it's all about. It's sexiness. It's nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I want that girl next to me. Or, oh, I hope he'll marry me. It's that kind of, no, Matilda, that's not what it's all about. Sex is really listening to voices from the future. Do, 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 do. Where are we? What is he talking about? Voices from the, what can that mean? What I mean is that when you're in the act of sex and you are doing this, you are experiencing the future calling to you. It's the voice of future possibilities, future, if you want, babies that might come into existence. Because that really is why sex is as pleasurable, or not, however you feel it, as it is to you, because that is what it is. Now, we've done a lot to get rid of that. We've done everything we can to try to cut that off by using all kinds of contraception. And I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't do any of that. I like sex too. All I'm trying to tell you is what it is. What you do with it is your business. I'm just telling you how it appears from a Kabbalistic point of view, from a matter into feeling point of view. The seventh transformation has to do, remember, with Zayin. That's number seven. Into 70, which is the Hebrew word Ayin, A-Y-N. And Ayin means eye in Hebrew. So what we're looking at here is the probable, the seeing of the probable, the arising of the probable, the vision of the universe. So from Zayin, which is all the possibilities which could arise at the seed-like level, when we get to Ayin, there are the probabilities that we see in our everyday life. The eighth transformation from number 8 to number 80 was a transformation from Het into the symbol Fe. And Fe means the face of something. And this is the beginning of the face of something. It's the transformation, the gathering together of the seed-like possibilities, which have now, number 8, have been transformed into number 80. When we're getting this, we're beginning to form a face on the world. We're beginning to form, we're having a persona, a face, an encapsulation of soul, a sense of who and what we are. We're having a self come into being. And now when we go to the ninth symbol, which is the last one I'll talk about here, this is the transformation from Tate, number 9, to number 90, which is Sade. And Sade is the principle of female beauty. It's no wonder that we all appreciate feminine beauty. Feminine and beauty are really synonymous from the Kabbalistic point of view, highly structured, very evolved, and Sade is the most complex of all the Hebrew letters in the Aleph Beit, and it's the most interesting in terms of what it spells out. When you actually spell out the word Sade, because Hebrew letters are also Hebrew words, so Sade is spelled with three letters, Sade, Dalet, and Yud. And when you spell out Dalet, Dalet Lama Tav, and Yud, Yov Yad Dalet, and you spell them all out, you can see a rain of infinite numbers of letters appearing on your page as you spell all these letters out and write them down. And what you begin seeing is how the universe gets constructed from the point of view of something which is hidden in it, but nevertheless very much there. There's a hidden element of love that's contained in Sade. And if you do some of this construction yourself, you'll actually be able to see it. And you can also find it, by the way, in my book, Matter into Feeling.